What up though, this your boy DOC, and welcome to another episode of the Doc Hicks Podcast. This episode 29. Good looks for tapping in on this motherfucking episode for real. Hey, on today's episode, we about to have a real conversation because I didn't have this question asked to me recently and a lot of times before. One, what's my overall thoughts of the Detroit hip hop scene? Two, what do I think will make the Detroit hip hop scene even better? And three, why does it seem like Doc Hicks picks and choose or don't fuck with a lot of people from Detroit? Or is that really the case? Is that by choice or what? I get a lot of those questions. So if you want to hear my answer on them three questions for real, like, is it by choice I'm not fucking with niggas? Or is it other circumstances or whatever the case may be, like some behind the scenes shit? Definitely tap into this episode right here. We about to talk some real shit. You know, it's a question that I get asked all the time. And I feel like I'm going to go ahead and take this episode to go ahead and explain to people my perspective on this particular question. I get asked this all the time. Doc, you from Detroit, even though I didn't put out the BMF series that shook up the culture, regardless of people going show they love. And because ever since the BMF documentary came out, a shout out to Dex Sosa Hussey. I'm talking about you seeing everybody and their mama using the terminology smoke and mirrors. I'm seeing the hashtags. I'm seeing a lot of people. I've seen a lot of stuff where I see people that represent in their own type of ways, but they're not going to give no credit back or nothing like that. And I'm not in this for any particular credit. It's strictly about the work. It's strictly about putting out the work. It's about the project. It's not necessarily just about me. But, you know, sometimes it is cool for people to acknowledge what you do. You know what I mean? Because that will help the brand grow even faster. Now, honestly, I got to give a big shout out before I get into this to everybody. The YouTube just hit 100,000 subscribers. So I got to give a big thank you. Much love. I appreciate everybody that have left a comment, that have shared, told a friend, you know. Any interaction to just viewing it, I greatly appreciate that. Because a lot of people for a long time been like, damn, Doc Hicks TV on YouTube should have been at 100,000, a quarter million, or a whole million. But that's what happens. You know, the real gonna rise to the top, but it's not gonna happen at such a fast pace. Because we always got to keep in mind, it's more fake motherfuckers in this world than real. So it's harder to connect to people. You know, to connect with fake, a lot of fake people, it got to be a bandwagon. So I don't mind starting a platform and it, you know, it's steadily increasing and not moving at a fast rate, but it's doing what it's supposed to do. Because as long as I'm connecting to the people I'm supposed to connect to, I'm perfectly fine. But besides the BMF shit that came out, the Dusty McFly interview, and also Smoke Camp Chino, I gotta give salutes to them. And Smoke Camp, both Smoke Camp and Dusty have told me prior to coming on the platform that they watch the platform, they up on it, they fuck with it. Salute. And I've even had an artist say to me off the record years ago, the very first time I spoke to them, I was like, bro, I'm not even gonna act like these hoe ass niggas out here in Detroit and act like I don't know who you is or what you got going on. And that's where the conversation gonna start at today, because of that conversation right there. And it made me sit back and really think, like, damn, this nigga a legend in the city, and he's saying this to me. I'm like, okay. And I'm not looking at it because just he's a legend, but it's letting me know that people got their eyes on the platform, but why people not behind it? That was always a question. I'm like, damn, I'm interviewing Danner, everybody from the Bay. I'm talking about everybody except the E40s, Two Shorts. You know, I didn't interview Danner, everybody else from the Bay. I'm not going to say that's relevant or had the opportunity to, and maybe just something happened with timing or whatever. We haven't got to that opportunity. You know, I didn't have legendary stories, legendary breaking news stories, all type of stuff. But I'm like, what is it? And I really just had to sit back and think about it one day. One, a lot of Detroit artists, and I understand this. I understand that a lot of Detroit artists, because Detroit have been getting looked over for so long, people want to be seen. My platform, because I'm a behind the scenes person, I'm not into this for personal fame. I'm not a rapper. I'm not the nigga trying to be all up in your videos. I'm not the nigga trying to be all with the gazelles on or whatever, trying to look fresh because I'm trying to. This is not about me. It's a whole mission behind Doc Hicks TV and DHTV and the Doc Hicks podcast. It's about the conversations. It's about the actual transition. That's why I purposely want to speak to certain people that come from a certain cloth, because I'm trying to get them to spit some game, talk about their life experiences and the things that they went through and what they did to come out on that other side of that fence and go in a legal direction. Because there's so many brothers and so many sisters and so many people in this world that's stuck in a certain part of their life and they don't know how to get past it. And people don't like to share information, especially not in the hood. That's where you get that middleman shit at. You know, a motherfucker have a key to your life in their brain with a simple couple sentences that could turn your whole life around, and they won't do it. And all that play a part in when dude made that comment to me, I just started seeing as the podcast, as the YouTube hit 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. Like, I literally had a motherfucker I reached out to. It was still mutual, but I reached out too because I respect what this nigga had going on. And his platform is pretty much, I'm 100,000 is not major to me. I appreciate it, but it's not where I want to be. My vision is way bigger than that. And this person, not even 10% of my 100,000. And I reached out because I respect talent. It's not about the numbers. When I came into the game, it was people that I reached out to because I had a couple questions. Them niggas just left my shit on scene or didn't respond. They waited until I was, if they ever responded, period. But that's just how the game go. I didn't take it personal because I don't know these niggas personally to take shit personal. I'm not one of them type of niggas. It's a lot of cornball ass niggas behind these podcasts claiming to be from a cloth that they really not from. You know what I mean? And it's power in words. And so if they a lightweight hater, they're influencing people indirectly to be haters. And that's why you got this division in the support groups. I don't like to call people fans or viewers because it could be used as a negative connotation. But that's why it's a division. You will see certain people comment on certain people channels and not on others because they feel like, oh, I'm not being loyal, even though they watch every fucking thing you put up. But that's neither here nor there. But this was the problem from the beginning. When I started my platform, when I said on another video the other day, I was watching Calico from Battle Rap when he was battling Shotgun Suge. I seen that. It made me want to do some Battle Rap reviews and shit like that. The Battle Rap community at that time, and it's still a little bit the same way, but definitely during that time, it wasn't as embracing to outside of New York battle rappers, let alone if you were trying to do media blogging. Niggas wasn't having that shit. And I'm not about to be sitting up here arguing with these internet trolls over some bullshit, over opinion. They trying to tell you don't know about rap since you not from the Bronx, nobody got time for that shit, and that pushes a lot of fans, away from things with that type of attitude, coming thinking you know everything or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I'm peeping, seeing interviews people doing, and there's a lot of people I look up to that do interviews. But I'm seeing certain questions. I'm seeing interviews where people asking the same type of questions all the time. I'm like, did I leave out of this interview either learning something new about this particular artist, or did I learn something from this artist's trials and tribulations in life that I can end up using and applying to my life to be able to get over this hurdle of what I got going on? Because my thing is, if you talking to a person that got $1 million, sometimes it's good to just, or even more, 100,000, if they got more than you or just been in different rooms than you, it's good to pick their brain for information. A lot of motherfuckers just want to run up on a nigga that got $1 million and just want to get a picture with a nigga so they can run on Instagram and post it so they can get some personal clout. But you didn't get no information while you just went back home broke, lights about to get turned off, when you was just next to a nigga where you could have got some information that possibly could have helped your life. That ain't me. I'd rather ask the questions to understand the journey, and someone or even myself can find out something. So I start hitting up Detroit rappers. I start hitting up motherfuckers. Now you gotta understand, I'm from the city, so I don't look at the rappers the same way as maybe someone from OT, out of town may look at them, or even to someone that's just purely a fan. I'm a grown ass man at the end of the day. I'm grown as hell. A lot of the niggas that's rapping right now, low key, I'm older than. Now, age don't mean nothing, because I know this Detroit, so niggas are always talking about they bank rolls, they jelly rolls, and all this other shit, you know what I mean? But I'm older, I'm more mature. A lot of times, before niggas even start hitting their OT trips, going to Kentucky or just up the street somewhere, you know, 30, 40 minutes away, I probably done lived in 2-3 states. You know what I mean? I'm not no rapper. I'm just not no rap nigga. You know what I'm saying? It ain't for me to glorify that either. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a whole nother video. So, I started sending out emails. Now, me, keep in mind, me, I'm looking at niggas. Oh, they rappers. They got YouTube videos. They getting booked for shows. Let me approach niggas on a professional level. Let me build a template and let me send out like professional emails and stuff like that to get interviews. It's not one nigga in Detroit, if they got a name for real, that they can't check their DM or their email and they don't have something from Dotkicks TV on YouTube requesting to, you know, try to sit down and do an interview. And niggas was acting funny. But I already understand, because I know how the city is. But that's where this conversation happens. This is where it comes at. Because too much of the street mentality bleeds over into the music scene in Detroit. Now, yes, Detroit right now has probably the most light it has ever had. I was born in 81. So I don't give a fuck if this a viewer or a rapper listening to this. I was born in 81. I remember seeing Trick Trick promotional big ass promotional signs, like how BMF ended up doing down in the A and other place. I remember when Trick Trick was doing that shit way back in the day, you know. So I remember the whole Esham era, then the Rock Bottom era, you know, the Street Lords, the Cheddar Boys on the east side, and I don't want to leave out no names, but I remember this whole transition, and I understand that it's some real niggas trying to get up out the hood and do their thing. So I'm hitting people up, people ignoring it. So I'm like, fuck it. My thing is, I'm just going to fuck with other people that want to fuck with me. And then once I get big enough, niggas going to end up having to holler at me, or it's going to make niggas look like haters. But what I end up seeing is, because it's so much of the street mentality blending into the music, the local industry in Detroit, it holds artists back. This is what you will have a dumbass artist do. Say, for instance, you could have an artist that they very first video went on. Let me look at something that's around here. Nike TV. That's just something I seen in Nike box. They went on Nike TV. They put up their first video. Now, I understand that's your man's. He done did the camera work for you. That's fine. You may double back and do an interview on there. That's fine. But if you taking your rap career serious, that can't be the only fucking platform that you go on and deal with. You boxing your own career in. And that cameraman or that person that runs that channel should not make you feel like that either. If they making you feel like, oh, you can't fuck with them, you only can fuck with me, they don't have your best interest in heart. They only care about themselves. They only care about themselves to get them views off of you. And if they, like I said, they make you feel like that, it ain't about an alliance. It ain't about you, my dog. It's a selfish act. Because if they care about your contributions, what you doing and your talent, they want you to blow up, because you always going to have that connection. If you go blow up and score a fat ass few million dollar deal, or your independent route bubble, and y'all got, you going to always come back and still mess with them in some capacity, because you going to have that connection. But see, in the streets, you already know you fuck with your people, you don't fuck with nobody else. But this is a business. This ain't the street business. This is the music business. Let me ask you a question. If you got an artist from New York, right? I don't care if it was the golden era or if it's right now. They get a song, they get the popping, a couple hundred thousand views, 500,000 views, a million views, or whatever the case may be. And the Breakfast Club invite them up to the Breakfast Club. You think that motherfucker not going, and but Hot 97, Complex, Rap Radar, and the list goes on. All these entities from New York reaching out to do interview. You think just because they first interview they did, or the cameraman that they did their they music video on, that they not going to go to these other platforms to spread themselves, to reach as far as the demographic as possible? And see, my thing, I don't have time to deal with dumb niggas. I don't have time to deal with dumb niggas. And it's not directed at people, but niggas can be smart as hell. Niggas can have money like a motherfucker and don't have no common sense or business sense when it comes to the music industry. Like, I've literally, like I said, back to when I said the dude, I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, I respect what you do. I peeping it. I'm not going to play the game like how I see other niggas doing shit. I'm not going to play it like that. I'm going to reach out to you. You know, I end up seeing this same nigga one day. Just, he posted this a picture of himself with another content creator from the city. From that day, the nigga start acting funny. I'm like, okay, like, nigga, it ain't hurt me. And if this dumbass nigga making you feel some type of way about, like, nigga, this ain't no pick and choose. We not beefing. Like, we not beefing. I don't know you from a can of paint. And the problem is because other niggas treated this bum ass nigga like that when he was trying to come up. Now he trying to treat other people like that. And it's like, bro, at the end of the day, you don't even know. Niggas look at you as a goofy. Niggas look at you as a goofy. Niggas know when they come to your platform, they can control you. You know what I'm saying? You don't really ask real shit. You know, you not, unless you just got that personal relationship where they know, you know, they know what you, they coming to talk to you about. But other than that, you just there. You not respected as a man. But my thing, I respect what you built, but don't try to toss that shit around, because that's the reason why certain shit be happening in the industry of the local scene of Detroit that don't supposed to be happening, because niggas bring that mentality over into the music scene. Now, please believe, I know in Atlanta that shit goes down. It's beef, niggas get shot, shit can get real, it can get real anywhere. But when it comes to this paper, when it comes to this money, them niggas, what they got, they see, niggas in Detroit and other places think, oh, as long as we all collaborate with each other, or if we come take a picture with each other, at kumbaya-ish with each other, that's gonna make the whole city pop. It's deeper than that. Like, you really genuinely gotta fuck with people. I'm not saying be best friends, but what Atlanta has done, they have built a culture within their culture. They have built a culture within their culture, within their city, in between the rappers, in between the producers, in between the DJs, in between the street teams, in between the radio disc jockeys, in between the media personalities, the radio stations. Everybody in some capacity understands. That's why every time you see, you seem like some shit slowing down, they shoot another one right through the pipeline, because everybody benefits. The clubs, that's why the clubs go ahead and spend niggas shit. Here, you will fuck around, have clubs that's on one side of town that won't play the other side of town niggas shit. You got a DJ on this side of town, he feel like, oh, I can't fuck with these niggas because they from the other side of town shit. Then you got the rapper that don't fuck with niggas because they on the other side of town shit. Then you got the media blogger or platform don't want to, you know, do any business or make the artist feel like, oh, I can't fuck with him because he do the same shit. It's too many angles of separation. Like, it's bigger and it's more than just the face value of just looking at Atlanta and saying, oh, They do songs with each other, and that's the reason why they pop it. It's bigger than that, because like all them pieces to the puzzle that I just named is the reason why the shit work, where they can actually at any point in time take Little Baby. This nigga say he just started rapping. This nigga just like down there, and then I heard, don't quote me, but I heard, what's the other dude? I can't think of his name, but it's another nigga that's popping from Atlanta, younger dude. Supposed to have been like Danner writing his shit for him, Danner, at the beginning to teach him how to rap. And tomorrow, he ain't been rapping for over a year or so. Nigga, he out of here. He out of here. Doing tours overseas, all type of shit. At any point in time, Atlanta can grab a nigga, Danner, off the street, clean him up, give him an image, put a little bit of, you know what I'm saying, sauce on the nigga, and make him a star and get the shit going, because everybody there played a position. Like I said, from the radio DJs down to the fucking club owners, down to the media, everybody played a position, because all of them will going to benefit. As long as your city hot, everybody is still gonna make some money somehow, because it's so much, it makes your city like a tourist attraction. It makes it in some type of ways. it make people want to come there. The club's gonna benefit. That means the stripper's gonna get more money. The bartender's gonna get more money. The DJs, because they keeping the hot shit. So that means they gonna be getting ratings. All that, like all of it from every angle. But you gotta have business minded people around you. That's why I say, man, once you get to a certain size as a rapper, you can't have little Nuke Nook and Pook Pook as your fucking manager. You can't do it. And you can find them another position, but you can't do it. You gotta, at some point in time, get you a manager that's know something about the business. Because he gonna know what calls and what emails to respond to. Even if it ain't me. Fuck me, fuck Doc. I'm saying, even if it ain't me, he gonna know what moves to make, or at least he gonna know more than you. Like, some, I go to my email sometimes and niggas just be sending some crazy shit, like they talking to a nigga that they know. Like, you supposed to be a businessman. Don't just hit a nigga. Cause my thing is, if you hitting me up like that, you probably emailing Atlantic Records or these other places on some ghetto shit, and they looking at your email like, what? And that's why they treating y'all the way they treating y'all, and giving y'all 360 deals and these bullshit ass deals, because they looking at how ignorant you coming off to them, so they play you. It's nothing wrong with being smart. You can, it's nothing wrong with being smart, period. And I understand the culture of the city. But, and then I also had a conversation with a person that was like, and I hear some people in the Bay say this, but I can't speak on the Bay, but I've heard a lot of artists in the Bay say the same thing. But in Detroit, they ask about like the OGs giving back or the OGs doing something. Basically, in 2019, there's no diss to no OG, YG, any G, period. You can't wait on nobody to do shit for you, because even if they do have a key to get you to the next level, they not going to get you there, because they now they want 10% or 15%. Or trying to, you know what I mean? Like, they want something that is the middleman effect. That's why when you hustling in the streets, your best bet, you going to get, anywhere going, unless you fucking with the nigga that's growing this shit, period, you always going to be fucking with some form of a middleman. I understand that. I understand that. But in this music game, it's like, your objective is to either direct to consumer, since we got social media now, or plug directly with the plug himself. Don't wait on nobody to do shit for you. They not. A lot of niggas is not happy to see you win. They not. A lot of niggas is only coming together just because they think it's going to make the labels like, okay, we're going to invest in them, because so many people are looked at like liabilities. Like, Detroit has had a stigma forever of, you know, basically just real niggas rapping. The labels know this shit. I'm talking about, you think about like the Street Lords was the first artist, I think they was like in the Source or something back in the Source or XXL, one of the two back in the day. That was a major accomplishment for them and the city. Everybody proud. We wore that on our chest like it was us, as just as supporters, to see them in that magazine. Cause we're like, okay, finally some real quote unquote street niggas is getting, you know. And I didn't hurt, cause I didn't had a conversation with an individual that been rapping in the city. He in the city, he considered a legend. We had a conversation about Eminem and what his thoughts was, because so many people from out of town are surprised that people don't, I guess, act a certain way when Eminem name come up. I guess like local artists or people that's from here, I guess, compared to the rest of the world or other people, either put Eminem in their top five or look at Eminem like he's just the greatest ever. You do have some people here that do. Of course, I can't speak for everybody, but I always say it, and it's not out of hate, Eminem and his music don't necessarily represent the culture. And this particular person that I was speaking to felt like Eminem blew up so big, and his rap style, the beats he was choosing and everything else, that the fans end up believing that, okay, when we hear another Detroit artist, it's going to be in that same type of lane. Now, of course, you got Royce da 5'9", you got the Black Milks, you got tons of other artists. I don't want to leave out no names that can be in that more backpack, even though Royce a real nigga, salute to him, you know, more super lyrical, that the lyrical miracle shit, you know what I'm saying? But lyrical miracle to the point where you still telling the story. It still makes sense. It ain't just a whole bunch of rapping as, you know, words that rhyme, but it's still some substance behind it, a storytelling or whatever. So it kind of hurted the city when you started actually seeing other people that's rapping around here, probably been had money, talking about not with just all these rappers say I've been had money, like real niggas that really had money before getting in the game. And they start hearing the beat selections, and it was a totally different vibe than what Eminem was doing. So the industry didn't want to embrace it because they didn't know how to sell that shit. They like the Detroit. When you think of Detroit, for so long you thought of Eminem, period. So like, how are we supposed to market this dude? He's the exact opposite. Because a lot of times you get one artist that pop from a city, automatically labels come and try to find someone else there because they know that person is bringing light on the city. Going back to my theory of saying what Atlanta does, because they understand that. They understand that. But when they came and they seen it was a totally different sound, I just believe they didn't know how to market it. On top of, this is a business, so they like, damn, okay, we listening to the music, let me do some shit. Is public record, you can check a nigga background. Okay, he do got 98 felonies, he did just get shot, he did just come home from shooting a nigga, oh, he facing 15 years right now, or is, you know, or whatever. We this do I want to invest money in this person, millions of dollars marketing all this stuff into this person, and then they fuck around and get killed next week or go to jail, and I just lost my investment? That's why I'll say, almost like in the Bobby Shmurda case, I'm not saying that it's cool or it's right, but I think they signed dudes so quick, and then once who he really was and what was going on around him then surfaced afterwards, from a business perspective, they like, okay, if we bond, maybe him being in jail may keep him alive. We bond, put up the money and bond him out, he may come home, get killed, or catch another case and then definitely go back. Now we done wasted our money for bonding him out on top of the money we done already invested in him. Like, all this has to be, and I'm not saying like niggas gotta, the rappers, you gotta do what you gotta do. But that's why you gotta build a team around you. That's why you say your manager can't be nuking Uncle John or whoever the fuck around you. You build a team of smart individuals that's not from that world around you. That helps them perceive you better because they see that you trying to have your shit together. But all of this, the whole city, like, I've heard stories of DJs talking about they got their crib shot up over, you know, in this past shit, but it should never get to that point where a DJ, your crib gets shot up over some music just because you just spent someone record and some niggas didn't like that you spent their record. So these niggas follow you home and shoot up your shit over that. Like, so that, you know what I mean? And niggas don't know this is the type of shit that's going on behind the scenes in Detroit. So it makes you, when I say you, me, have to make a decision. Like, you not dealing with, and I'm not talking about everybody, but you're not dealing with everybody that got their, you know, head on straight. Of course, I don't have my head on straight. It's a lot of shit, for real, for real. Like, it's a nice maybe handful, maybe 5-6 motherfucking rappers around here that know my family. They know what's up. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know what's up with the Hickses, you know. And so it ain't like niggas is just on some hoe shit at all, but it's the same point. Do you just want to be beefing with niggas? Do you want to constantly be beefing with niggas? Because and not all these niggas around here that's rappers that portray themselves to be what it is, not what they are. So it's like, do you want to be beefing with niggas and having to beat a nigga ass or get shot at, shoot at some niggas? Do you want to just be doing that when you actually trying to build something to help these motherfuckers be on a bigger platform? Because automatically Detroit, when you get an artist from Detroit, they get the popping. If the city gets behind them, okay, you got the city. Hopefully, because, you know, it's just still this, and it's getting better. So I applaud niggas for it's getting better. But, you know, the East and West Side shit, I don't know why people try to act like the North End or, you know, the Southwest Side don't exist. It's talent out there like a motherfucker. Then you automatically gonna have different spots in Ohio. So I'll just say Ohio. Of course, different spots in the Bay. So I'll say Northern California. Then like Milwaukee, some places in Indiana. You know, it's about 4 or 5 different places when you pop from the D that we automatically have, you know what I mean, that come along with it. But my thing is, if you see a platinum, so that my thing is, so if you dealing with it, and it's not a, but fuck it. So if you go, you, if, as an artist, if you popping in them your 5 top markets, and then you going on a platform that all they do is Detroit shit, which is fine. It's nothing wrong with that. So I guarantee when you look at their analytics, their 5 top markets going to be your same type top markets. Wouldn't you want to go to a place that don't have the same markets where you can get put in front of new fans? Is that rocket science, or you got to have fucking Albert Einstein as your manager to get you to understand, nigga, if you want to get bigger than what you are, you need to go to other places? Because niggas is really holding themselves back. At the end of the day, niggas is really holding themselves back. And it gets to a point where it's like, okay, you can't just, it's a few quote unquote real niggas or niggas that's got a connection to the streets that's in the radio stations and stuff. But it's a lot of radio heads that's at the radio stations that's been there for 50 fucking years dictating what's hot, or they program directors just telling them what to play. A lot of shit need to be washed out and reset. And that's not for me to come in. I just think if people not here for the overall objective of the whole city and the whole culture, they shouldn't be there. Too many niggas is worried about being a local celebrity. Long as I'm popping in my city, not me, but this is that mindset. As long as I'm popping here, the hoes respect me. I'm getting pussy. When I go to the club, they looking at me like I'm a star. I got a couple diamond chains. I got a Rolex. I could pull up in a scat. You know what I'm saying? As long as I got these, I don't give a fuck. Nigga, do you know how big this world is? This world big as hell. Nigga, you could be the shit on your block and then go to another city. Niggas looking like, who the fuck are you? And don't give a fuck who the fuck you are, how much money you got, no nothing. Go to another country where they don't even speak this language. Nigga, but that's why people love to box themselves in too. They don't want to go out of an uncomfortable situation. People don't like stepping out of an uncomfortable situation because if they not, because it's all about dick sucking and stroking niggas' egos. If they not somewhere where they ego getting stroked, they don't want to be around that. But that holds you back as well. I love my city to death, but just like I said, I'm not about to kiss nobody ass, and for lack of better terms, dick suck no nigga. You know, that's the terminology a lot of people use. That shit's hella gay to me, but that's the terminology a lot of. But it's one big dick sucking contest around Detroit. And I even see some of these people that present themselves online and all that shit. Not everybody, but I even see some niggas that present themselves online like they just gangsters and all this shit fall inside of the dick sucking contest as well. Because my thing is, at the end of the day, it's no shade to CNN. It's no shade to Vlad TV. It's no shade to Say Cheese. None of these people. But don't you know that you can have your own CNN here if you motherfuckers supported it? Even if it ain't me. Don't you know you can have your own Say Cheese here if you motherfuckers supported it? Even if it ain't me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have that, and that, then you can stop trying to kiss other people ass out of state to get on they shit. Niggas will come on a local person's platform and be gangsta as hell. Act like they can't answer no questions. They too cool for school. They act like they on an interrogation. Can't, but then run down to DJ Smalls or something. And shout out to him. You know, shout out to him. But run down at that nigga and give niggas the... They come on a Detroit nigga platform and be like, hey, man, you know, that's something I don't really want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, my baby? That's some shit I don't really want to talk about right now, my baby. You know, we bossing up over here, my baby. We bossing up. But then run down to another nigga platform and give them the full story of some shit that everybody been looking for, to wanting to know about them. Like, why you didn't give that to someone at home? Because niggas is watching. See, and this is why a lot of business don't happen as well in Detroit. Because a nigga even looking at how much, and I know this happens everywhere, but niggas even worried about how much money you making off of. Like, nigga, I'm putting you in front of an audience to help you make more money. This is a give-give situation. I'm not just benefiting in this. And that's where a respect level has to happen at. It's a lack of respect. Niggas' noses be too high up in the sky. Oh, I'm a rapper. Nigga, you a grown man. Just like I'm a grown man, and every other media outlet or blogger, whoever, cameraman, everybody pretty much are grown men. So people got to approach them situations like that first. And just like in the return, if you get a new fan by coming on my platform, that's $10 or a dollar for a stream or a CD they done bought that possibly came from whatever platform you was on. It got to be more street thinking. And if you're not a street person that got some intelligence, you got to get someone around you that got some intelligence. Period. Like, you got to. But back to the dick sucking shit. Like, it's one big popularity contest. It's like you had 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, and then, like, then you graduate, and then what's going on now is 13th and 14th grade in the streets. It's about in the rap game, like, it's the rap game is 13th and 14th grade. It's a popularity contest. Whoever the popular kids is, whoever the popular group, that's who everybody want to be like. Everybody want to run behind this and this and that. But, like, do you know the cities that really prosper in the music game? They got a lot of selections. Everybody in Atlanta, it's a lot. Yes, that's where they from, so a lot of shit gonna have similarities. But you got different pieces of the pie as well. Somehow, think about it. You got the Migos. You got dudes like Trouble, all the way to your T.I.'s, your Jeezy's, to your Gucci Mans. Then you also got, damn, I can't think of dude right name right now. If y'all think about it, leave it in the comments. But he fucks with Kanye. Dude can spit his ass off. You know what I mean? But then you also got Andre 3000, Outkast. You got the Goody Mobs. Even though I'm talking about older groups, but you got a different variety. Even though it's a similarity because of the culture of what it is, but you still got a variety. Everybody, I hate to say everybody because I hate being that individual that groups everybody together. Everybody don't do this, but it's a large amount of people after an era of the Cheddar Boys, Street Lords, and a lot of stuff that was going on, which I understand that's our culture, but do it your way. Find a way to do it your way. It's some people, it's some artists around here that should have been blown up. But I guarantee the reason they haven't fully blown up yet is because of how they're handling the business behind the scenes. I don't give a fuck if you sold 100 bricks of dope, nigga. That ain't got shit to do with me. That ain't got shit to do with an A&R. That ain't got shit to do with an exec. None of that. That don't have nothing to do with nothing. You got your street cred, and that's fine. I don't give a fuck if you a blood or a crip and you didn't knock down 100 niggas. I don't give a fuck. That has nothing to do with me. And don't go on these fucking platforms and incriminate your dumb ass either. And that's where a lot of niggas, they be too worried about trying to prove to motherfuckers they tough. They go on these platforms and incriminate themselves. And it's a responsibility on the platform as well. If you know this nigga then said something that can get him jammed up, to edit that shit out. Play it back to him. Let him know, hey, do you want to lead us in here? Because this could. And give him the opportunity to say yes or no. Now, if he's still like, hey, fuck it, leave it in there. Because I done had to do that multiple times. Because I never want my platform to... for people to be like, hey, man, after I went on doc shit, man, we fucking got indicted like 2-3 months later. And then it just be like, oh, okay, maybe it was a coincidence. But after 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 motherfuckers, that same shit keep happening to within a certain span, people gonna start looking at a common denominator. So the platform has a responsibility, but and the artist. But you got to understand that when you're meeting people from that's somehow involved in the culture, in the business, we don't give a fuck how many bodies you done dropped and how many bricks and how many nicks and how many pots you done fucked up with the fork. I don't give a fuck about none of that. Let's do an interview or this brainstorm and put together a project that can be bigger than life. It's about you, an artist, you're supposed to be a creator. Me, a platform, I'm a creator. Let's put that together and build something that can, you know, stick and go viral. And going viral don't have to be in I'm not saying that in a clout chasing way. I'm just saying like that can really expand. Because if you put some real deep thought into some creative shit, it's going to take off, you know. But we got to get past the popularity contest, because you got to understand if your ass didn't have the opportunity to live in another state or move around. And I said beyond Ohio or Kentucky, if you had the opportunity to move faster past that. And I don't even include Detroit niggas going down to Georgia, because niggas been going back and forth down there forever. You know what I mean? That's second home for real, you know. That it's a lot of shit that people care about here. that people don't give a fuck. And I'm not saying conform to what other people care about. Keep the culture, keep the essence of the culture, because at the end of the day, it's a lot of shit that other places are stealing that Detroit is doing. And we should have been got recognized for that. I seen Dusty McFly put up a picture the other day talking about 6 years ago. He was on in his video that was like on 106 and Park, and the label that he was signed to was constantly telling them, like, take them glasses off. They didn't understand it. Now look, it's 2019 and everybody wearing Yeezys or Buffs and this and that. They didn't get it. That's a part of the culture we don't get credit for. And not saying that people want it, but it's a lot that come behind them glasses. Slowly are people get it, or real motherfuckers understand. But the dick sucking shit gotta stop. And I understand it ain't gonna happen overnight, but it has to stop. Look at shit strictly from a business perspective. And if you can't look at it from a business perspective, if it's emotions involved in it, or it's a bias involved in it, or you just don't understand, you hire or get someone around you that understands this business and your career. Because I want to see, I'm saying all this shit, I don't give a fuck who get mad or feel some type of way. Because I'm not speaking about one or two or three people specifically. I want more motherfuckers from the city to blow up. Period. That's why damn near every artist that has reached out to me, or not even artist, like a person that wants to be a creator that have reached out to me, I have attempted to try to do some business with. But you're not about to get over on me. Period. I done had motherfuckers reach out to me asking about some game to get their shit started. I can share some game. But then my thing is, if I can share some game, let me see if it's something that you can do to help me. And I can ask them a question or something. They either can never answer the question, or they won't do even, you know, they won't even put one foot forward towards the shit I asked them. But I can give them game. So now you think you just using me, or you may not understand that it's coming off that way. But then in their mind, they'll justify, oh man, fuck that nigga Doc, man. You know, take yourself out of your shoes and put yourself in someone else's shoes that's getting 30, 40 people a day asking him questions all the time. And he took out the time to stop and talk to you. And I'm not special, but I don't have time to speak to everybody. But if a person can help you out or lend you some information or game that can help you, you can do something possibly back if he asks. You know what I mean? But the whole, like I say, my main thing is basically because I have seen it. The shit that happens to answer the biggest question of why people feel like Doc, why you, because I'm not about to play these games that some of these geek ass niggas is playing. And when I say geek ass niggas, there's nothing wrong with being smart. I'm just saying, like, the characteristics of a cornball ass nigga or niggas, period, or women or whatever, that be building these fake ass alliances that's boxing themselves in. And then in return, they rationalizing it in their head to box the artist in. And the artist don't even understand that he's the information that that platform or platforms are giving them to make them feel like, oh, man, you can't go over there and fuck with them or this and that, blah, blah, blah. That's hindering you. And they doing that from a selfish point of view because they just want to collect off of you. But people got to get past the dollar. It's about expansion. Everything you do, you sitting down, busting down some work right now, ain't you? You sitting down, busting down some work right now, ain't you? You ain't trying to just keep hustling on your block, right? You trying to expand, right? So that means when you want to expand, what you got to do? You're not going to be able to keep fucking with just the people on your block, right? You may have to go fuck with some niggas around the corner. If they solid, if they real, or you know, appreciate what they bring to the table, you may have to go fuck with some niggas out of state. And like, and my thing is, the industry or people that's in the industry, a peep, if you a dick sucker or you that type of nigga, they send back peeping your moves. Like a label will give you a bogus ass motherfucking contract if they feel like you thirsty. But if they feel like, damn, well, Detroit got their own culture built and locked in so tight. It's nothing that we really can bring to the table to really help this artist. So we got to give him hella money if we want his John Hancock, if we want his motherfucker signature on his table. That's the only thing that's going to really leverage fucking with this artist is to give him a lot of money. But if the artist, down to the artist team, down to the local industry, fuck the whole industry, I'm talking about the local industry, is my concern. The DJs, from the artists to the DJs and everything in between down to media, people gotta all start being on one accord. That don't mean niggas gotta be best friends, but niggas gotta stop with the slick hating shit behind the scenes and all that bullshit. All that shit's childish. If you a real nigga that come from some half of a real fucking life, how you got a problem and you beefing with or hating on the nigga that you don't even know from a can of paint? You should have some real shit to worry about. You should have some diapers you trying to get on your kids or something, or some money to pay for a mortgage or a car note or any goddamn thing, than be focusing looking at what another nigga doing and you building in your head that he must be in competition with me, or I gotta be in competition with him. Like, that's sucker shit. That's pure sucker shit. And anybody that be around an artist that think that way, or a fucking cameraman that think that way, or a platform that think that way, you gotta let them know that's sucker shit, period. Don't condone that shit or make them feel like that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. But all of this is why, all of this is like a combination of the reason why when I do shit revolving around Detroit, it's a certain type of way. Because I don't have time for that shit. I'm too old for that shit. For real, that's why I fuck with either OGs or real niggas. Because real niggas respect other real niggas, so they see what's up. And the OGs, like a Dex and all them, that's self-explanatory itself. So I don't have time. I would like to, but I'm not about to bend over backwards. I'm not about to chase niggas down. And I wouldn't expect for the artists to do that vice versa. I wouldn't expect them to do that shit vice versa if they were trying to contact me and I was on some bullshit. But keep in mind, everybody has a schedule. Everybody has a schedule. Everybody has things to do. You know, so people can't get wrapped up in one project for days and days and weeks and weeks. That's slowing up their bag and their money when they got other shit got going on. That's a sidebar to some other shit. But, you know, I want to see everybody in Detroit. I don't care if it's a DJ, cameraman, you know, content creator, artist. It don't matter. Producer. I want to see everybody win. This is not towards one person or entity or anything like that. This is an overall observation of the bullshit that I see going on behind the scenes, and a lot of people see it as well. And this is just my thoughts on some of the things that could be addressed that will help the city get even further. But it's a lot of elements, and I understand, because the culture of the streets, there's not no new shit in Detroit. It's a lot of places that you see in the street culture right now in the rap city, rap scene in some cities. This is a brand new culture to their city. This is a brand new culture, like, and it's not glorifying the drug game, but this is some shit that really just, of course, it's been drugs and everywhere forever, but like on some Bossolini mafia organized crime shit, like a lot of places that's representing that type of lifestyle, this shit just started within the last decade of that shit in they city. Detroit, this been going on forever. Talking about, you can go back to the purple gangs, you can go back to the Italian mafias, but mainly it's been black organized crimes that's always ran Detroit. And that's the difference between, you know, when you get the places like Detroit, Harlem's, and the Oaklands and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of other places too, but I'm just giving a scenario. So it's so in the street culture, so embedded in niggas' heads, a lot of people don't know how to do business within the music business. Because everything that we do is a two-way street. I don't give a fuck if you were a rapper and you got $30 million. Well, that's just exaggerating a little bit. But say, for instance, I guarantee, as big as Rick Ross is, this is just using an example, as big as Rick Ross is, it's still local places that he go and do shit with at home, because he still got to show love at home. Like, it just, it's down there, at like, it's times where I want to holla, and is this I have, but like I say, I'm not about to kiss nobody ass. I'm not about to do all that shit. I will keep grinding my shit, because then it'll get to the point where motherfuckers gotta listen. They gonna wish that they got down with it, you know what I mean? But I be thinking like, damn, it should be a conference or something. Like the OGs that got experience, that be getting licensed for movies and all this shit, you know what I mean, that got plugs, like they should sit up and coordinate something and have like a little conference for the city during the summer times or sometime, you know. And it could be hosted outside of the city to keep down the bullshit. If you think you're going to gather a lot of people and some activities may pop off, you can have it out in Southfield or Oak Park or somewhere else, where, because a lot of times when people cross 8 Mile, a lot of shit calm down. Even though it's real niggas out there in them cities too, it's real niggas everywhere, you know, but it is a lot of shit calm down. If that rapper got 100 guns, he probably only gonna cross 8 Mile out there and maybe only bring 4 or 5 with him. You know, it calmed down. If that's a deterrent for people to do this, but they need to get some of these people that's actually in the business, that's in the city, that understands the business, to sit down and share some of this game, because everybody wanna either be a rapper, dope boy, or a stripper. Unfortunately, not everybody. Because, of course, I don't know everybody, but people genuinely look up to the people that they see getting money or flossing it. And that's a heavy influence. Yes, you do got people going off to school and stuff like that. And I applaud them. I super applaud them, you know what I mean, for taking other journeys in life or picking up trades and different things like that of that nature. But most motherfuckers want to be a D-boy, a stripper, or a fucking rapper. And all those things coincide with each other. And if that's the case, you still got to get some education in that, you know, but that's just basically to answer the question in a long-winded way of the reason why I maneuver the way I maneuver myself with in Detroit, because I didn't even had experiences where a Detroit artist can do some shit. DJ Academics talk about it. They don't have a problem with it. But if a local media outlet talk about it, it's like, oh, man, why you got to talk about that, man? Oh, man, come on, man. Or they try to make it like you hating on them or some shit like that. But you didn't have no problem with DJ Academics. But it's just only because you feel like we are accessible that you want to reach out. Like, no, nah, anyway, go. Once you become a public figure, you got to deal with the good and the bad. But my thing is, you'll be able to talk about some of the good to balance out the bad if you fuck with these platforms and stop boxing yourself in just to the first cameraman. And that's not the hate on the cameramans at all. Get your money, do your thing. But a cameraman, shit, if he wants you to get bigger, because he can continue to be your cameraman, y'all may have a contract where he can continue to be your cameraman, but he should want you to get bigger. Because then that's going to come back and help him get more views, because you done went out there and accumulated more fans to come back to where you shooting your videos at. So they going to make more money. It's one big loop. And I don't see why niggas don't understand that it's one big loop. But to answer y'all question, that's what it is. You know, I appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, make sure that you leave a 5-star rating and a good review. And like I say, this is the only way that you can get a shout out. You got to leave a good review. If you leave a good review, I'm able to see your name, because that's the only way I can give you a shout out. If you just give and just leaving a 5-star, five-star rating, that's perfect too. But if you want that shout out, you got to leave a review. You know what I mean? So go ahead and share this. Just start the dialogue. Just see what motherfuckers got to say. You know what I mean? If it's true, if it's not true, if I'm just talking some bullshit or whatever the case may be, let me know. But holla at your boy, this DOC. Peace.